In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to everybody out there listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking high school sports. We're transitioning from football to basketball right now. I can't wait to talk about some of those great state championship games that were played last Saturday. We crowned two champions. Cool stuff. How about them Strathmore Spartans winning Division 7A? Central Valley Christian took care of business as well, winning their first state championship in school history in Division 2A, which is a big deal, man. One of our small Christian private schools won Division II football. Congratulations, Central Valley Christian. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into those games as the show goes on. All right, you can follow me on the Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You can also follow at 1430 ESPN. Yeah, I still call it Twitter. I know it's called X now, but you guys are probably more familiar if you hear the word Twitter. I want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating as well. They do a great job sponsoring 1430 ESPN. It's nice and crisp and cool out there. Feels great. 52 degrees right now. High of 69 degrees. Just great weather we're having here for our Christmas break. And I say that because I'm a teacher. Yesterday was our last day of school. And it's going to be a well-deserved three-week break. I got 37 kids in my class this year. And I'm happy for the kids because I threw I didn't throw it, but we had a party and I allowed the kids to bring some food, chips and horchata and some pozole soup and some really, really good stuff. Enchiladas, I mean, we had it all. Only one spill. Well, we cleaned it up pretty quickly, but yeah, a lot of fun yesterday in my class. And you know, these next 3 weeks are going to be a nice break. I want to let you guys know too that I'm going to be taking a couple week break for myself, so no shows for the rest of December, for the rest of the year. So no shows for the next two, but we'll be coming back January 6th, hitting the ground running for sure. I'll be tweeting out stuff. I'll be going to a few games as well this break, but no shows here at First String Sports for the next 2 weeks. And I heard that Clovis Unified, right? You only get 2 weeks, so they got a whole another week. And one of my friends teaches in Madera, and they get 3 weeks, but they're going all the way. They're going one more week. So Madera Unified, they're going to get back late. What is that, like January 12th or something? So, yeah, a lot of schools do different things for the Christmas break. But anyway, really excited about this show. Who do I got on the show today? Like I said, we're transitioning from football to basketball. So, hey, might as well have two well-known Addison, his son from Clovis North. Connor is a senior. I've watched this kid from his freshman year, sophomore year, that great run they had in the state playoffs, to sitting out his entire junior year. That was hard to see, and I'm just as hard, I mean, more hard, right, for Connor to go through that and for Tony. So they're coming in at the bottom of hour number one. After this break, we'll talk with Gabe Camarillo, kind of putting a little tiny bow, at least for my show, on the football season, and talk about the basketball games that Gabe and I were able to broadcast over the last couple of weeks as well. So talking to Gabe, talking to Connor Amundson, Tony Amundson from Clovis North. That's the top of hour number two, keeping the basketball theme going. Girls Clovis West basketball coach Craig Campbell, he returned from Hawaii. Tough gig, huh? Returning from Hawaii. I think this might be the third time, maybe the fourth time that they've traveled to Hawaii for that big tournament. So talking with Craig, you know the story, 11 state central section championships. They got that state title, which is a remarkable, remarkable run for a public school in 2017, ranked number one in the central section until somebody knocks them off. I mean, just a great guy, and always look forward to talking to Craig. At the bottom of hour number two, George Takata, friend of the show, former sportscaster, morning show host, still very involved in the high school scene around, works at Reedley College right now, big, huge Fresno State fan. I mean, this dude is, he's one of the one of the super fans in the Central section. Always love catching up with George. He's a big Raiders guy, too, Oakland guy through and through. Raiders, A's. He is very, very upset at the A's, with the A's right now. Very upset about them moving. He wasn't too happy with the Raiders moving as well. So always a good time talking with George. We'll explore a few of those topics. All right. So Division 2A state championship football game last week, Central Valley Christian against Los Gatos. They won 45-42. That game had it all. Obviously, points aplenty in that one. They raced to a 28-7 lead. And Los Gatos kept scoring and scoring late in the second half. And you thought, well, man, this might be heartbreak city. But they recovered an onside kick, and the rest was history. And I've talked about this kid a lot. Bryson Donaldson, the running back that's headed to Fresno State, committed to Fresno State. He was a dude. He was absolutely everything that was advertised about him and more. He rushed for 203 yards, 32 carries in that state championship game, touchdown runs of 11, 70, and 10 yards, and had a 62-yard touchdown catch from quarterback Brett Cruz. Remarkable. So he ended his senior year, 3,298 rushing yards. That's good for fourth highest in Central Section history. Thanks to Central Section historian Bob Barnett for that info. 58 total touchdowns, second most in Central Section history. All right, Brett Cruz, the quarterback, also had a phenomenal game, 21 of 28 from the completion percentage for 238, three touchdowns. And Donaldson ended up with six catches for 87 yards. Okay, so what I want to discuss a little bit is that Donaldson just had the greatest rushing season in Central Section history. I say yes. I think because of the entire body of work. The Cavaliers went 15-1. Their only loss was to Clovis North. Those yards that I mentioned are, you know, fourth highest in Central Section history. Again, 16 games, that's a lot of games. He averaged 11 yards a carry. 58 touchdowns, second most to Kazmir Allen. Okay? I think another reason why he had one of the greatest season in Central Section history is because of winning the Valley title, Central Section title, and then winning the state title. He was a dude in those games. Everybody knew he was getting the ball. Everybody. But you couldn't stop him. And when he hit that next level, there was nobody, even through the state playoffs, that was going to be able to catch up to him. So, in my opinion, yes, that was the greatest rushing season in Central Section history. Now you're like, hey, what about McKay Christensen, right? Clovis West, superstar in 1993. Clovis West Eagles went 14-0. He had 44 touchdowns. Valley title. There was no state title back then. So that was, I've always been curious, and a lot of people have, how far they would have went in the state playoffs. That 93 team was absolutely stacked. I think McKay probably had the second best. How about Kazmir Allen that I mentioned? Those 72 total touchdowns are mind-boggling in 2017. 3,336 yards. So Bryson was only a few yards behind him, 38 yards behind him. 62 rushing touchdowns, had 9 receiving touchdowns. That was one kickoff. That's kind of funny because I think that's exactly what Bryson had, was 9 receiving touchdowns. Oh, I think he got 10. 10 with that one in the state championship game and the one kickoff return. Well, what about Kendall Brock, 2010? 2,329 yards, 38 TDs, a Central Section title. Cool stuff. And we got another kid from Strathmore, Joseph Garcia. He scored 4 touchdowns in their state championship game in 2017. They went 16-0 state champs, had over 3,500 all-purpose yards and 53 TDs. Those are some monster, monster seasons. But for my money, I'm going with Donaldson. I am. The way he carried that team through the Central Section championship and through the state title was remarkable. And we get to see him more. I'm going to follow his career even more, signing with Fresno State. Can't wait for that. And speaking of Strathmore, they did it. All right. They trounced that Bell Gardens team. Trounced them. 42-7. Running clock. How often do you see a running clock in a state game, let alone a state championship game? But check this out. Sophomore Geraldo Ruiz rushed for 225 yards on 17 carries and 5 touchdowns. Okay? Here's the cool thing about that. He was the backup. Their main dude, Jacob Poole, was out with an injury. He had over 1,700 yards and 22 touchdowns. So they're like, Geraldo, you are the guy. You're running the rock today. Leads into a state championship. And so what a great story with Jeremy Blackwell, the head coach at Strathmore. He's on the show after they won the Central Section title. You guys should know by now his incredible story from this year. Almost passed away, almost died in the summer. Heat stroke, fell, was in ICU, self-induced coma for 8 days. So that guy is over the moon, absolutely over the moon right now, and deservedly so. All right, Mission Oak was another one of our Central Section teams. They fell in the state title 41-19 over Palma of Salinas. Congratulations to Coach Marty Martin for having an incredible year. Central Section title, state runner-up. And Wasco fell in their state championship game as well. All right, a couple more minutes here, a couple more fun facts. Speaking of more football, a little more football. Jalen McMillan from San Joaquin Memorial, University of Washington right now. Well, he's in Fresno. He's hosting a toy drive at the Fieldhouse. They're going to be taking on Texas on January 1st at 5:45 in the Sugar Bowl. But go over there. Go to the Fieldhouse from 10 to 1, a toy drive. Meet Jalen McMillan. A bunch of other people are going to be there as well. So cool stuff, giving back to the community there. And obviously he's going against Xavier Worthy for Texas. So can't wait for that matchup on January 1st. We also got Clovis West girls volleyball coach. Want to mention Rhonda DeRuiter. She won her 600th career game this year. She was honored at the American Coaches Volleyball Association in Florida. Good stuff for her. She is she's a Manual grad, coached at CVC as well before going to Clovis West. And Tom Goodwin, beloved Tom Goodwin here, Central High, Fresno State, an absolute legend, major leaguer. He got promoted by the Braves to be their first base coach. Hats off to Goody. He was on the show in January, and that was one of the highlights of the year for me for sure. So he was the first base coach for the Red Sox when they won the World Series against the Dodgers, but been promoted again. So he's going to get a firsthand account of Acuna and Riley and all those sluggers that they got there. It's going to be really, really exciting for him. So congrats to Tom Goodwin. And, of course, the bowl game, Fresno State, New Mexico State, kickoff at 2:45 today. Spread is 3.5. Favorite to the Aggies. I'm going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about that game. What are the keys to the game? Talking about our top 10 boys team, top 5 girls team, and kind of putting a bow, so to speak, keeping with the Christmas spirit on the high school football season. So chatting with Gabe Camarillo after the break on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for tuning in. Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here. Live here at First String Sports in the Letterman's Jacket Room on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon Avenue. You guys know where it is. It's the only place where you can get your Letterman's Jacket. Looking at jackets from Sanger, Sunnyside, Madera, that blue of Madera, Edison. I do like the Edison colors, man. I've always been a fan. Hoover, Selma, Woodlake, of course, Buchanan, Clovis North, Clovis East behind me. Good stuff. First String Sports has always been really, really good to me. I come here about 9 o'clock and get things set up and talk to the guys about fantasy football, right? Fantasy football playoffs are here. How are all your teams doing? Well, I'm 3-3 in playoffs, but I don't know. I got top seeds. And I just got a bad feeling. I just got a bad feeling this year in fantasy football. I did forget to mention one thing, so it'll be a nice lead into Gabe Camarillo that's going to come on right now. But Jacques Johan for Clovis West, one of those great seniors that they have. On December 6th, he scored 31 points in a big win against Granite Bay. And that game is noteworthy. Check out this score, guys. I couldn't believe it. It was the one day that I didn't go to the Clovis West tournament. But listen to this. 118-92. In a high school game, 8-minute quarters. Unbelievable. There was a section record that was broke on that night. Total three-pointers made by both teams, 35. 17 for Clovis West, and Granite Bay hit 18 three-pointers. Cal High Sports thinks that that might be a state record for a combined three-pointers in a game, 35 total. What a wild game. Clovis West took care of business and beat Intercom 84-70 in that championship game. Junior DJ Stickman, this guy is a dude. He can dunk, he could play defense, he could shoot the ball. He's got long arms, had 20 points and 14 rebounds in the championship game, was named MVP. A lot of talk about who's going to be the better team when it's all said and done. Who's going to win the championship? And I don't want to discount any other schools. That's for darn sure. But right now, rankings got to go for me. Clovis West 1, St. Joseph 2. St. Joseph defending Central Section D1 champs. They got their guy back, Tunde, right? Probably a future NBA guy, most likely. I got Clovis West, St. Joseph, San Joaquin Memorial, who's looked really strong this year. Clovis North, we'll be talking with Tony Amundsen and Connor Amundsen at the bottom of the hour. And then I got Clovis East. I don't know. That could be a 5A, 5B with Centennial as well. Gabe, agree or disagree? Well, first of all, I should say happy Saturday to you, my friend.
And yeah, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Last show for me for a couple weeks. You're gonna continue to have your show. But agree or disagree with that top five? Where are we at?
So you have Clovis East at 5. I got to hear the rationale as to why. Let's start there.
Well, they've been, you know, they go to the coast, right? They go to the coast every year, so they don't play a lot of in-section teams during the season. They get a little taste of the valley. I know they lost, Day-Day Felder to Bullard. He was track's leading scorer at 20 points a game last year. But I think those guys, you know, are they going to be able to compete against Clovis North and Clovis West? Yeah. Can they hang? Yeah.
Okay, so that means if Clovis East were to face Bullard right now, you think Clovis East beats Bullard?
That's a good question. Right now, they got a good chance. That'd be a good game. Come after December 26th, I think Bullard takes it.
Okay.
But right now, that's where I'm at with Clovis East.
So I look at Clovis East. I haven't seen him yet, so that's part of the reason why I haven't put him in my top five yet. I look at Bakersfield Christian playing a tougher schedule. I look at Edison playing a tougher schedule just because these teams are facing, well, for Edison, for example, right? They went up north, played some good Bay Area teams, played in the Lloyd Williams shootout, and I believe they faced a good Paraclete of Lancaster team there. And then they lost to Centennial by 9. And Centennial's my number 4. I know you have North at 4, and then you have Centennial at 5B, which that's cheating, by the way. You can't have teams tied at a spot, but whatever. Okay,
5 and 6.
I'll let that go, right? Centennial, they lost to Sierra Canyon by 10 points, whereas 3 weeks prior, Clovis North loses to Sierra Canyon by 40 points. So Centennial loses to the Trailblazers by 10. Broncos lose to the Trailblazers by 40. I think you got to put Centennial just because of the common opponent and the fact that both teams had their full squads against Sierra Canyon. I'm curious to see why Centennial was able to keep it closer. And I have my private suspicions that it was Centennial's size and their rebounding. That was their calling card last year. I saw them against Edison last year, and I remember distinctly how many second chances and third chances they got. I look at Centennial, and I think right now they might be the best team in Bakersfield just because they got the most depth. I know they got Jackson Santiago coming back. Rippon Gill is the shooter I keep hearing a lot about. I remember Godwolf Amoso so much from last year as well, and I think he's back as well. Just a big bruiser in the paint that doesn't really score that much as he gets rebounds and blocks and tips and stuff like that. So I believe Centennial was probably one of the bigger teams, height-wise and size-wise in the section. And so because of that, I could see them pushing around a Clovis North or pushing around a smaller team below them. But I respect the respect for Clovis North. They deserve to be considered one of the top five annually because the coaching there, because they got Connor Amundsen back, and now he's joining his brother McKay. But I just think Centennial has also faced a tough schedule. Clovis North faced some good teams. Centennial's played some good teams, and Centennial's played better against those good teams than Clovis North has.
Yeah, very fair, and I'm sure that's going to change over the next couple of weeks. And with Centennial, I remember they were junior heavy last year, and those mm-hmm. you talk about Rippon Gill, that kid's a shooter. I think he's about 6'6", and Santiago, he was an athlete out there, and you know could dunk the basketball. So yeah, I think Centennial, when said and done, is going to be, yeah, one of the top four or five teams in the Central Section when playoffs come. Hey, did you say you got San Joaquin Memorial 3, and you had somebody else at 4?
I had Centennial at 4.
Yes, Centennial. Okay.
Memorial at 3, St. Joseph at 2, and Clovis West at 1. And I picked Clovis West because if St. Joseph were to have someone in foul trouble, let's say Tunde or Julius Price, that's half their scoring. I mean, I believe Tunde averages around 35 points a game, and Julius averages about 20 points a game. So that's 55 total that you're getting from your two top players. That's how much some high school basketball teams score per night, right? So yeah, if you consider they're kind of accounting for one team scoring, and then you got the bench pieces that could chip in a three here or there. Unless Abdul Bar kind of emerges and develops into what Caden Hamilton was late last year, And he was an elite scorer in the paint and a shot deflector or blocker or effector, whatever you want to call it. He affected shots in the paint as a defender, Caden Hamilton. If Abdul Barr can become that, then they got a big three. But right now they only got a big two. And I feel like you need more than just two really good players to win a section title.
Yeah, I'm talking with Gabe Camarillo, home field advantage 3-5 Monday through Thursday. Yeah, I mean, Clovis West, we saw them up close and personal. Again, they're not playing with Marshall Sanders right now, who is still out from a concussion he suffered in football. Not sure when he's going to be able to return. Just signed with Fresno State as well. We're going to get to them in just a second. But, hey, Clovis West, I think, you know, this is – I couldn't believe it, Gabe. This is Vance's eighth year back, right? Is it seventh or eighth? Eighth year back at Clovis West. And – the coaches just rave about this year's team, how much they hustle, how much they've bought in. They got their rim protector, 6'9" transfer. They're looking pretty sharp, aren't they, Gabe?
Yeah, that's why I got to pit them at one, because if Jackson Young fouls out, then Zach Schohan's going to step up. And if Schohan fouls out, then DJ Stickman's going to spin over everybody and then dunk it and then spin an amazing outlet pass up ahead of whoever. I like how Clovis West, their pieces complement each other. You got your size and Kajavi and Boudreau down low. And Espinoza can also bang some bodies down low and shoot it from beyond the arc. Ardisson's a good shooter. Young's a good shooter. Stickman can do everything. He can score if you ask him to, but he really is his best when it's like a free-flowing game, when you're up and down the court and there's no fouls being called. That's when DJ Stickman is at his best. So I like Clovis West pieces together. I think they have the deepest cast of players next to San Joaquin Memorial in this area. And let's talk about San Joaquin Memorial for a second. A team that we thought would be in a bit of a rebuild. I think they still are rebuilding, but it doesn't look like it with how much young talent they have playing. Talent that is already producing at this level, like Parker Spees, for example.
No, I mean, Memorial impressed. They got a very young team. And, you know, Coach Ross is like, it's no excuse, right? We only got one senior that gets valuable minutes. But yeah, they're a fun team to watch. They move the ball really well.
Yeah.
And they played Clovis West pretty tough. They had it 62-60 at one point before Clovis West pulled away in their win.
Their freshman Ty Schalk hit three threes the other night in their opener for the tournament they're at right now up north. So the freshman hitting three threes, and that's Ty Schalk. I think that tells you the freshman class, the sophomore class, especially this junior class with Abram Potts and Julius Olenruwaju, it's pretty special. So they'll be here next year as well. They'll be even better next year, but they'll be probably top three this year.
Yeah, I agree. Defending state champs from last year, that D2 title is something that we'll remember for a long time. Okay, Gabe, bowl game today, 2:45, Fresno State, New Mexico State. Before we get into a couple details here, is Jaden Mandel, true freshman from Buchanan, is he going to be listed as the number two quarterback, right?
Yeah, he'll be listed as the number two quarterback. I hope Mikey Keene doesn't get hurt, honestly. He's been hurt too many times this year. Let's recount. Purdue, he got hurt, left for a play. What else was that? The Wyoming game, he got knocked out for the fourth quarter, missed the entire next game. Then against the San Jose State, he missed the second half and then missed the first half of the next. Like this, I don't know, Paul, you've been a Fresno State football watcher longer than I have. Has there been a quarterback with this many injury concerns in one season?
I can't remember. And, you know, he's not a great scrambler. He doesn't create a lot of plays when the play goes off script. And so that concerns me. And, yeah, I think one hit in this game, Jaden Mandel could definitely see the playing field. Okay, Gabe, we got about a minute here. Tony and Connor are here. Can't wait to talk to them. Fresno State loses. We know the situation with Coach Tedford. Obviously, our prayers and our thoughts are with him and his health. But and Tim Skipper taking over. However, what if Fresno State loses, what does that look like moving forward?
Oh, man, this needs to be a win. It's been such negativity around Fresno State football for a past month because there's nothing good to talk about. They lost three in a row, and they lost them to teams that they shouldn't have lost them to. They shouldn't lose to a 4-8. Sorry about that. I'm battling a cold, Paul. You know that.
You even had to take a day off this week,
man. And
that
was the first time all week I coughed on the air. I was waiting for it to happen. It always happens on your show, Paul. I'm sorry. But they lost to 2 4-8 teams, New Mexico and San Diego State. I think they're tied for six on the conference. So that's not good, obviously. And then Tedford steps away because of health reasons, which you're more concerned about Tedford than the team because Tedford's had this happen before. So, yeah, it's just a lot of not good things happening with Fresno State football. So if this loss happens, it probably wouldn't be the end of the world because Fresno State fans have been through worse, and New Mexico State's actually a really good team, where there's a reason why they're favored. They got the 11th best rushing attack in the country, and Fresno State doesn't really stop the run well anymore. But if they stop the run and Tim Skipper brings the juice and the offense brings more creativity and starts throwing more downfield shots, I mean, New Mexico State runs a 5 defensive back look. So the offensive coordinators, the offensive coaches will have you to believe that that's impossible to throw the ball deep against. You have to only throw these short routes, these checkoffs. No, you can attack it with seam routes. That's what they did against UNLV. Remember in the third quarter against UNLV after Fresno State was struggling, they were down, I think, 17-7. Mikey Keene started fighting Jalen Moss in some of those seam routes. He threw a touchdown to Arrow Brooks on one of those seam routes, and they scored, I think, 24 unanswered points in that third quarter. They went up 31-17. It was pretty inspiring. They can do that against the Aggies today. You can dice them up like you diced them up the Broncos and their 5 defensive backs. These secondaries, what they do shouldn't contain you. Fresno State should throw the ball deep to Trey Watson or to Jalen Moss. They should be aggressive on offense. That wasn't there against San Diego State. If the passing attack is more open today, I think the Bulldogs win a shootout. And so I'm actually picking this as a Fresno State win, 33-30. I know you didn't ask for my prediction, Paul, but I just gave it to you because you know what? I'm feeling generous today.
I love it. Thanks, Gabe. Always appreciate you producing the show. We're going to be broadcasting some basketball games. Can't wait together in January. So yep. Good job by you, my friend.
Yep. And, you know, I'm really excited for that too, Paul. I'll tell you what, we got a great one for Clovis North next year. I'll just leave it there, okay? Great game for Clovis North boys basketball. You can guess who it's against on our airwaves.
All right, sounds good. We got Tony and Connor Amundson coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report here on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. We got Tony Amundson and Connor, who's a senior already. Wow, can't believe it. The Broncos are currently 4-3 on the season. Tony, I don't know if you know this, but this just popped up on Twitter last night that you were named one of the top 100 most impactful high school coaches in California. Oh, you know that? Is this breaking
cool
news?
I think Connor told me that last night.
All right.
Yeah, he's on the social media more than I am.
Vance is also on that, and Coach Roz from San Joaquin Memorial, A.J. Sheeran from Bakersfield. Is he back at East, Coach Sheeran?
No, he's at North.
He's at North.
North Bakersfield.
North Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Okay. Congrats to everybody on that list. But first of all, thanks, guys, for coming. So no practice this morning? No shoot around yet? Is that going to come next week, or what's the practice schedule look like?
Next practice will be this Monday.
Monday?
Yeah, we're off today and tomorrow.
Connor, when you don't have practice, quotes, you got to get some shots up, right? Either at home or I'm sure you got access to the gym, whatever you want. You just got that itch. You got to get out and get some shots, right?
Yeah. I usually end up getting shots up at some point throughout the day and, getting a lift in and stuff, making sure I get a good workout in.
Is there a favorite outside court that you like to shoot on? Obviously, rims could be different and, the playing surface is different. Is there a park or maybe the cement in front of your house?
There's a park right next to my house called the Cage. A lot of people go and play there. I usually don't go during season, but off season I'll go play there a lot.
All right. Let's walk us through the first 7 games. So you guys are 4-3. The first game at the Save Mart Center against the powerhouse Sierra Canyon. You guys were on the road. Was it last week in the tournament?
Yeah.
The tournament. Yeah. So walk us through these first 7 games. How do you feel like the team is performing?
Well, it was poor scheduling by the head coach. Probably should have had a game before that Sierra Canyon game. I could see that, the nerves were getting the better end of us and we didn't shoot well. And then obviously that led to us a little bit not playing well. The good thing about playing Sierra Canyon is you get to know what your weaknesses are and kind of what you need to work on. And so we started working on those things and we've played a little bit better since. And then we played our tournament. We ended up getting 3 wins there and winning the championship, beating Bullard in the finals. And I thought we started to play a little bit better. And then, we went to the 69th annual Gridley tournament, and that's a juggernaut of a tournament. It's all the best teams in NorCal, And while we were there, we ended up playing the number 8 and number 9 teams in the state after beating Sheldon in the first round. Played very well against them, I thought. That was one of our better games. We actually shot well and played well. I thought we defended well and ended up, I think, beating them by like 25, which was a good win for us. And then the next two games, we played Salesian and Reardon, who are, you know, high state-level teams and have, you know, a lot of kids with multiple Division I offers. And it was tough. Like, they make shots, and, you know, even though we're contesting and playing hard and doing a lot of the right things, you can still come out and lose because they have very good players. But I do like playing in those games because it does kind of help us kind of figure out, okay, this is what we got to do against this kind of talent and, you know, this size and this speed and, you know, whatever they throw at you to, whether it's a trap or a zone, you know, you're wanting those experiences to kind of help prepare you for the end of the season.
And when teams game plan against you, do you feel like some teams are like, well, we can't trap these guys because of their ball handlers, or we're going to try to keep up with them, you know, pace wise? What are you seeing teams game planning against you?
Well, we try to have our own identity, so there's certain things we're gonna try to do all the time. But of course, against certain teams, you're gonna make adjustments throughout the game based on their personnel and scouting reports and, you know, different things like that. But you definitely modify some of the things that you do, you know, within your scheme and your system, and that's just game to game.
Connor, out of those 7 games and those four wins, which game do you feel like the team was really clicking? Maybe the Buller game. Coach mentioned the Sheldon game, which was an 85-59 win. Which game do you think sticks out to you so far this year?
Yeah, I would probably say the Sheldon game. We shot it well. We were connected, played good defense, and like, they have good players on their team too. Like, they have 3 really good guards, and we did a good job of taking things away for them. And we were just connected and played really good together that game.
Who's been playing good for you, Tony, this year? Obviously, Connor.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into, you know, missing last year and stuff, and then playing this year. But who's played good for you guys so far?
Yeah, I think our starters have been pretty solid throughout the year. So, you know, Connor, Lucas, Jordan. Jordan's been amazing. You know, he's just one of those guys that just does a little bit of everything for us. You know, and as a matter of fact, he was in foul trouble in that Salesian game, and that's another one of the reasons why we fell off a little bit there. He kind of got one silly foul. The other one, I thought, was kind of a cheap call on him. But then that puts him on the bench, and Salesian makes a nice little run when he goes out. So we kind of need him in there. But Jordan, Connor, Lucas, McKay, and Eli have been doing an amazing job. And then, you know, I like our bench, but our bench, we still got to get a little bit better in some of those areas. I think our top 5 have been very consistent at doing all the things. Our bench needs to get a little bit better, and that's what we've been working on, is just keep developing those guys and, you know, just making less mistakes on defensive rotations and guarding the ball, just a lot of the little things. But I think they're going to come around, and I'm glad to know that we have a lot of areas where we can improve, and we'll continue to get better at it.
Connor, how many points are you averaging this year? Do you know? Are we close to a little over 20?
Yeah, it's like right around 20, I think.
Around 20. But you also, you take pride in your defense. I've seen that from the beginning. You like taking charges. You like, you know, getting steals, pestering on the ball defense as well, help side getting those charges. What is your mentality defensively? Right, like, are you just trying to stick to your man? Are you able to read, you know, off the ball when to come help? But what are your strengths defensively? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I try to just like read their offense, and like, if I could see like someone driving in, I could get in there and take a charge, or like just trying to make the right reads and get steals. And yeah, just keeping my man in front of me, no straight line drives. That's just the mentality on defense.
Coach, you know, where do you believe Connor shines the most on the court?
You know, one of the things that he does well is he gives us whatever we're missing, you know, that night, whatever he thinks he needs to do to help us win. I think that's always at the forefront of his mindset, which is really good. And you know, there was a couple of games where we were struggling to score, and you know, that's when he comes up big and starts scoring a lot. And you know, and then in the other games when you know, things are flowing a little bit more. He's finding guys, and he just kind of initiates our offense and gets things going.
And you've been doing this for a while, Connor, but last year, you know, was a difficult year. You, you know, had a couple shoulder surgeries, right, and rehabbing all year. You know, what was the most – we'll start with a negative part, so to speak. Oh, it could turn into a positive, but what was the most frustrating part for you last year?
Probably just games that we didn't win and just, like, seeing how I could have helped the team. And, like, it was just hard to watch the whole season. Just I was itching to get back out there and play. So that was probably the toughest part, just having to watch.
Were there some moments, though, when you're rehabbing or maybe lifting some weights and doing your exercises, you're like, gosh, man, I can't wait to get on can't wait to give you to my teammates. This is all going to be worth it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking every day. Yeah, that was pretty much every day, the thought process.
So was it two surgeries or one?
Yeah, it was two. It was both shoulders.
Both shoulders?
Yeah.
And do you remember the first time you were able to, you know, the doctors cleared you to try? I think I saw a video of you just putting up some shots really close with one arm, right?
Yeah, I remember that, yep.
When did the doctor first give you clearance? Okay, you're full, all systems go.
Full was, it was like mid-May, early June. So June 1st was like the, like, fully cleared date.
And then you had a busy summer, though, right?
Yeah.
You had a busy summer. How many games do you think you played this last summer?
Oh, shit.
Or about 30?
Yeah, it was a lot of games.
And you got some offers.
Yeah.
You got some scholarship offers. So who's offered you so far?
So for Division One, I have Houston Christian, Dartmouth, Portland State, and UC San Diego.
Okay.
And then I have a couple Division II offers as well. Fresno Pacific, Westmont.
Those are the two that, yeah.
And Westmont, man. What a beautiful campus in Santa Barbara. Coach Moore isn't there anymore. Coach Moore retired. He's
actually an assistant at University of San Diego now.
With Steve Lavin, right?
Yep.
Yeah, brothers-in-law, right? Cool stuff. All right, Dartmouth. Where did that one come from, and how is that one going?
That one's going good. It happened a couple weeks ago, and I'm going on a visit on actually New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So I'm taking an official visit there. And then we're setting one up with Portland State, looking like maybe early February. And then I've already visited Houston.
You have? Okay. Whole family going?
Yep.
Dartmouth?
Well, yeah, me and Michelle are going with them, yep.
Okay, that's awesome. Tony, how have you seen your son grow throughout this process, you know, starting as a freshman, you know, awesome sophomore year, magical sophomore year, and then the injuries, and then playing this year? I mean, how have you seen Connor grow mentally and physically during these times?
Well, Connor's really worked hard at it, and, you know, through the years, and his skills are very, very high level, and he just sees the game and just – he's an ultimate competitor. You know, everything he does, he wants to win and be the best. And he's just got that internal drive. And because of that and the experiences he's been through and the levels that he's played at, playing on the EYBL and, you know, playing with us at a high, super high level, going to, you know, Cali Live event, going to Section 7, and, you know, we're always playing in the top bracket. And so you're seeing, you know, college-level players game in and game out, and he's always done well against them. And I think just all of those experiences all together have shaped him into the player that he is today, and he just keeps working at it.
Shooting wise right now, right, Connor? Let's say we shoot 100 threes from the top of the key. On your best shooting out, what do you think you can throw down here? Out of 100.
Well, my best has been 93.
Come on.
So that's
come on.
That's the best. A couple weeks ago, I did 91. So hopefully my best, probably like in the 90s.
91 three-pointers out of 100 from the top of the key. We got witnesses for that? That's remarkable. Huh? Is it, you got the shooting machine where the ball comes back to you?
Yeah, shooting machine.
Okay,
yep.
All right. So, Tony, shooting-wise, man, where he's got dad's touch?
Yeah, you can shoot the ball. When you put in that many reps, you know, you're gonna get pretty good at it. So he does a good job of that.
That's amazing. Connor, what sport would you play if it wasn't for basketball?
Man, I played them all growing up. I was pretty good at soccer when I was little. Maybe baseball.
Maybe baseball? Well, I know baseball in your family, right? Evanston's are baseball. I think that was your first love, right, Tony? Baseball?
Yeah, I played a lot of – I played all the way through high school, and yeah.
What about cross country?
Oh, yeah, I was pretty good at track and cross country. I forgot about that. Maybe actually track would probably be – if it wasn't basketball, it would probably be track.
How about competitive-wise? You say, you know, obviously love to compete. Board games, card games. What, you know, it's Christmas time right now. You guys are going to be at home for Christmas. What is there a specific go-to that you guys play? Any card games?
Kind of play it all.
We play some hold'em sometimes.
Okay.
And some different things like that. But my wife always comes up with, you know, the family game night stuff, and so it's some, you know, the more recent games we'll play. But whatever it is, you know.
You guys are getting after it.
The kids are getting after it for sure. Yeah, they want to win.
Tony, what do you guys got the rest of the Christmas season as far as tournaments? Looks like it's set up already. Playing Mission Hills, Capital Christian, and Mission Prep.
Yeah, that's the Mission Prep tournament, and the first three games are set, and then the top teams from each pool will play each other, and on the other side is Bishop Montgomery and a team from Washington. Woodinville from Washington, is that in it, or maybe it's Oregon? That's always a very good tournament. We're always excited to go back to that one. And then after Christmas, we've got the Classic at Damien, and they put us in the top bracket. And we actually open with number two team in the state, St. John Bosco.
I see it right there, Max Preps.
And it won't get any easier after that game either. So we'll be playing against some high-level teams for sure.
Absolutely. How many gyms does the Mission Prep have, or how many courts?
They just do one.
Just one, huh?
Yeah.
It's small. Is it still small?
The gym?
Yeah, the gym.
Oh, it's a decent-sized gym. Size? Yeah, it's actually a really nice gym.
Okay. All right, so let's get into the track a little bit. We got a couple minutes. You know, there's no secret, right? I mean, it's you know, Clovis East and Clovis West, and you guys, Buchanan's improved. I mean, Clovis. I mean, there's definitely no gimmies in the track. So, Tony, how you know, competing in the track just makes you guys sharper, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's very, very good coaches in our conference, and you know, that's another big reason why I think our teams are really good. So every night it's going to be a battle, and you know, teams are going to try and take things away from you, and it's, you know, it's a chess match that way. And but again, that's why we like going through the schedule that we have, so that, you know, ultimately we're prepared for winning league and trying to win a section and then trying to win a state championship. So those are the three goals in front of us, and the league is just, you know, one of those avenues. But I do believe that I think every team is a little bit better than they were last year, so it's going to be a tough conference.
I agree. So, Connor, what are you looking forward to most when league rolls around? Again, we got those tough games, those tough tournaments, but when league rolls around and a lot of the Fresno and Clovis people are checking out your game, whether it's at Clovis West or Buchanan or Clovis North, what are you most looking forward to in league?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to trying to make a run, win league. There's a lot of good teams in our league this year. A lot, like, everyone's looked like they've gotten pretty much better. So I'm excited for all of those. Obviously, the Clovis West game will be a big one. East is good. Buchanan's looking good this year. So just excited for all those.
What's been your most memorable game so far in your career? Is it the state title game?
Yeah, it's probably the NorCal championship game because we won that one. And it looked like we weren't going to with a couple minutes left and then made a run at the end. So that's probably definitely up there as one of the most memorable games.
Well, you still got a lot of your senior season left, Connor. And I got to ask Tony before we leave. I always love a good basketball story from you. Who's the best basketball player that you've ever witnessed or played against or been a teammate with? A guy that, you know, obviously you know, you had that tryout with the Sacramento Kings. You've played some overseas ball, but you're like, man, that guy is otherworldly.
Well, I've played against a lot of very good players through the years growing up in the Bay Area and, you know, playing in different open gyms and competing in different events and tournaments and different things like that. But probably the most memorable thing would be at Chabot College when we would have our open gyms. We had a lot of NBA guys coming into our gym and they would play against us. And literally on the other team would be Gary Payton, Lester Connor, Peter Tebow, Brian Shaw, they would all be on the other team, and we would get to play against those guys in open gyms, and it was just wow, how fun that was. And I really particularly liked Lester Connor and Brian Shaw, because they would come early, and of course I was there early, and they would go through shooting drills with me, which I thought was super cool. Just really good guys, and just love the game, and they're paying it forward to a younger guy, and just absolutely love that memory.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So thanks, guys, for coming in. Connor, it's been a pleasure. You still got a lot of senior year left, and it's been a pleasure watching you grow from freshman year to right now. And it's good to see you on the court, first of all, man. That last year was a little bit hard for the fans that really wanted to see Connor Adamson on the court as well. So very happy for you. You're going to play at the next level, which is great. And, Tony, always great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we got Clovis West girls basketball coach Craig Campbell on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. You guys know where it is, right? I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. Obviously, they got more than just Letterman's jackets here. They got the east wall. They have all the hats from track teams, and I see Roosevelt as well, Edison, cool-looking hats. They got chairs you can sit on. Man, I remember those days of getting those lawn chairs and watching my daughters play soccer at 8 in the morning sometimes after a long week of work. Man, I kind of wish I could go back to those days. I miss those days, man. If you're going through that right now, if you're like, oh, my daughter or my son's got another soccer game, we got to take them to that, just enjoy it. Take a step back and say, oh, you know what? This isn't going to last forever. However, they're going to be great memories. I could promise you that. And you can identify Coach Craig Campbell, can't you?
100%. It goes really fast, and it's probably going to be the most stressful time in your life when your kids are doing all those sports and running around. But it's also, if you allow it to, it's going to be one of the most amazing times in your life.
Absolutely. Clovis West girls basketball coach Craig Campbell joins us live here at First String Sports. 11 straight Central Section titles, that state title in 2017, which was amazing. 12-2 so far, just returned from Hawaii. So talk to us about Hawaii, man. Yeah, is this your fourth time going?
This was our fourth time going, yes.
How does that work? It's a pretty exclusive tournament, first of all.
It's extremely exclusive. They only invite three mainland teams each year, and you have to be a Nike-sponsored, part of the Nike Elite high school family to even be considered. So if you're not affiliated with anybody, or Adidas or Under Armour sponsored, you're not even in the mix. So just to even be considered, you're already exclusive to even be in the pool. To be invited back four times is truly, you know, it's a cool – people think, oh, it's a vacation, and it's not. It's a really amazing experience. I mean, we come back exhausted because you're doing shoot around, walk through, film, meal prep, game, you know, and then do it again and then do it again against elite teams. But they just do – Iolani does such an amazing job. They're so gracious, and everything that we read about and see that's wrong with the world right now is the complete opposite, not because you're in paradise, but the humanity and the way everybody treats you over there. They give you the shirt off their back for, you know, if you – hey, could you actually shuttle us right over? Absolutely, coach. We'll take you wherever, you know. And so, I mean, it's obviously a beautiful place to visit, great tournament, but just the hospitality of – the host school and everybody involved is really special.
Yeah, that's amazing, right? When you know you're going to go, obviously you're spending a lot of time and money on this trip. You know it's going to be a first-rate organized event. That goes a long way, and you do that with your own tournament, your showcase as well, and you know set up a hospitality and the coaches and referees and players get free food. That's just a great experience. So how do you feel the girls played?
You know, it's always tough. We go 2.5 hours of practice per day here, and you get over there and you get an hour and a half one day and then an hour the other days. So we've already lost a huge part of what we do. And then you're dealing with the distractions of being on the island. So we always try to go over and get some of those things in early. Took the girls snorkeling in Hama Bay, took them to visit Pearl Harbor, and really understand what our country went through on that day, which is so lost in today's generation of how horrific that was. They go out on the USS Arizona. There's a great film presentation. So we try to kind of, you know, make it educational and some memories and all that. Talent-wise, you know, we got out to a pretty good start the first game, and then we played number five in the country, Sidwell Friends. I mean, they lined up 6-4, 6-2, 6-2, 6-1. And, I mean, just we gave up 7 to 11 inches at every position. And we're down 6 with about 7.5 to go in the fourth quarter. And then the wheels came off. I mean, we fought, we scratched, and we knocked them out of their primary defense. And then we went stone cold, and it led to long shots, long rebounds. The score was not indicative of how close it was, but we were right there with them. And I think earned a lot of respect of a lot of people that night. Here were these little ankle biters just swinging with Goliath. But then we turned around the next night. Iolani was the defending state champion from Hawaii. Really well-coached team. We developed friendships with their staff over the last few years of being out there. And play very similar to us. We jumped out early. They came back, took a one-point lead at half. And then second half, we dialed it up and played well. So I did not think we'd be 12-2 at this point with the schedule we've played. We've beaten two state champions already this year. But we've played some great teams. So we did well over there. It's a great experience.
And, I mentioned quickly your tournament, your showcase, your Nike Invitational. Is that the official name of it? Nike Central Valley Showdown.
Yes.
And, yeah, you had some star teams, man, that came into that tournament. And Shaq's daughter was a part of it. I mean, how neat was that to get, what did you have, two other schools from different states?
We had five states represented. Yeah, five states represented. Had some really high caliber. We had the number one sophomore in the country. Jersey Robinson from Sierra Canyon was there. Zach Randall's daughter and Gilberinas' daughter both play on Sierra Canyon. So, you know, they're stacked. Desert Vista is the defending state champion from Arizona. Shaq's daughter's team from Houston, Texas. There are some great, lots of colleges coaches came by. I know three kids that played in our tournament field that got offers from other schools at our event, which was pretty cool.
Awesome.
You know, we always want to put it on for our kids, but we also want to put it on for a great event and help other kids get the opportunity to be seen and play elite competition. And it's pretty cool when three kids got a scholarship from that event.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I want to talk about the Nike affiliation. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've heard the complete story yet. So you mentioned the Hawaii tournament. Y'all got to be Nike sponsored. I mean, how is that even, what's the process of that? How did you guys even get nominated, let alone Nike sponsored?
Well, it's funny how many people will come up to me and say, hey, what do we need to do to get sponsored? It's like, it's not that easy. You know, I think there's roughly 150 to 200 schools total in the country, boys and girls, which sounds like a lot until you process there's 35,000 high schools. So now you're talking 70,000 boys and girls teams. We were actually with Adidas when it first happened, and Nike came to us and laid out this pitch and said, you know, we really want you to be a Nike-sponsored program. And
was this before or after?
This was 2009.
Oh,
2009.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, Adidas had been good to us at the time, and we tried to get a hold of them and said, hey, I kind of needed to know within a week, and made two or three calls and didn't get calls back. And finally I called Adidas and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know we've gone with Nike. And in 30 seconds, they called back after I left that message, after 3 days of not returning calls. And Nike has just been tremendous to us. Tony Dorado is the guru. He runs the Nike UIBL and the Nike Elite High School. So he was the one that developed that relationship. And I knew we were really good in 2010, and I knew we were graduating a lot. And I kind of went to him. I'm like, hey, I don't know how good we're going to be in the next 2 years. Are we going to lose this? And he said, it's not just the success of your team right now that we see in you. He said, we see what you're doing with this feeder program, and that's what's intriguing to us at Nike. And he said, he goes, as long as you're the coach at Clovis West High School, Clovis West is going to be a Nike sponsored program. So it was a pretty big stamp of confidence from somebody that's, I mean, you know, there's when you look at who also is sponsored, there's not a lot of public schools.
Yeah.
A lot of preps, a lot of privates. So to be that one, and then obviously our boys program is part of that as well. Is really a special. They take such good care of our kids. They really do. And then, like, we're going up to Portland here, and the Nike headquarters is up there. And so the tournament itself does a great job with everybody, but the Nike teams are getting a little special. We get to go tour Nike headquarters, and then they have a special Coach K court up there. Like, Team USA has been allowed to practice there. It's a really big deal. He's given each of us an hour practice time while we're up there. So there's a lot of extra perks to – we'll get to go to the Nike employee store up there. A lot of extra perks to being part of the Nike family.
Talking with Coach Craig Campbell, girls basketball coach at Clovis West. Oh, man. So, okay, I'm just curious myself. I bet people out there are curious as well. Do you just get to – do you get a website you could click, man, I want 30 of these. I want 30 backpacks. I want 30 pairs of sweats. Or do they come and lay things out for you like, yeah, I kind of like this. What's that look like?
You know, they've done a lot of different things. They just switched over to a new format this year where they're giving us an allocation. And we do. We go on, and we are now allowed to shop with comp money and pick, you know, based on two or three different shoe designs, couple different sweat designs, you know, sometimes we ask the kids, what do you want? Sometimes I kind of surprise them with what I think is cool. So they switch the format. But, yeah, we get an allocation now, and we go through and get the sizes of our kids and plug it in. And, I mean, it comes to us in, like, 3 or 4 days. I mean, it's pretty impressive the turnaround they do on their end. But it's all this year, like they said, hey, all of us wanted to know, well, we have a description of the shoe, but what shoe is it? Can we see a picture? They can't release the pictures because these are custom to the Nike Elite High School teams. Mm. So they're not even available to purchase. So they can't release a picture because there's nothing. So there's some things like that. Occasionally we've gotten gifts from them for Christmas. They'll get sent an extra shirt or something to the Nike schools or a shoe or something. State playoff run, we got a shoe from them. So just there's some other things that come along the way on the side that in addition to the great care they take of our kids throughout the year. And then, you know, the Iolani tournament and some of these others, these special things we get invited to. Being a part of it, it's we're very blessed.
Do you get discounts on Jordans that you can order personally?
We do. Not the retail stuff so much, but the team Jordan line, yes.
Did you? Did I see that right? Did you get yourself a new pair?
I did get a new.
You know what
they're going to match with, right? They're going to go in my Cowboys gear.
They're white.
They're white with navy and the gray with the elephant print on it. Yeah. Mostly white, but the navy. Yeah, I bought them specifically for Cowboy game days.
Awesome.
I know. I'm a little obsessive in that.
We'll get to that to the very end. All right. So I'm wearing mine. Just for you. I mean, I like the suede ones.
Nice.
Suede ones. I got these in San Francisco.
Well played. I do got an issue.
I know you do. I know. It's actually in my show notes as well.
What are you doing?
I got dressed kind of in the dark. I'm not – okay.
You must have hit your head too.
Yeah. Because I'm wearing my Adidas short socks with the Air
Paul Jordans. Metters is wearing Air Jordans with Adidas. You know what I'm
– I just picked – I didn't know which ones they were.
You know what our saying is, right? Three stripes, you're out.
Three stripes and I'm out?
Okay. Yeah. Right. we might need to close the show for him.
I got nothing. My defense.
There's no cross-dressing here. It's checks.
I'll work on that. All right. So I want to add a little bit more about your team. Let's get back to that because I'm on the hot seat right now. All right. Let's throw it back to you. Let's talk about some of your players. I know Athena Tomlinson. She's been a four-year girl headed to Boston College. Riley Walls. I think she's got an offer for Fresno State.
Correct.
Am I correct on that?
Yep.
You got some other up-and-comers. So talk about your girls as a whole.
Gosh, they're doing great. I mean, they're great kids. Most of them have been with us in second or third grade. And, you know, Araya Smith's having a terrific senior year. She's got several D2 full ride offers. She's just navigating what's the best fit for her right now. Keegan Medeiros is currently our second leading scorer. She's having a great junior campaign. You know, Riley and Athena, you mentioned, are just terrific players that are doing what they should do, you know, stepping up in big moments. Making a lot of plays that don't show up in the stat column, you know, things that everybody asks kids, how many points you score? Well, they don't ask how many deflections you get, how many charges did you take, how many box outs did you miss? But then we've had some kids really stepping up. You know, Jordan Navarro is really playing great role, replacing Atoya's position for us, as well as Mia and Ariana Reyes. The sisters are really coming along and doing a good job. Milani Warren's really stepping up, having a huge impact. And really, we feel like we're starting to kind of get that 6, 7, 8 starter type of thing versus just 5 and then hoping somebody can plug and play a little bit. We have a couple twins, Jocelyn and Jasmine Martinez, are doing a great job. You know, they're just really – and then obviously our two freshmen are going to be future stars. Ramey Chapman's – I mean, she's finished some big games for us as a freshman, been on the floor the last 4 minutes of some big games. And then Zion Williams, those two are, you know, future first team, all league, all valley type of kids. And they're just, as a team, we feel like we're really deep. We're starting to, it's hard when you play in these elite events. You can't get everybody a lot of playing time. We came back from Hawaii. We had a really good week of practice. You know, we got back at 10:30 last night. The kids came in and had – they have formal tonight, and they had 2.5 hours of just high energy busting their butts. And I told them, I said, you guys are really starting to mature. You're starting to figure out you can't cheat the process. Mm. And you could have come in and coasted today. You're tired, got back 10:30 last night, or focused thinking about getting my nails and hair done for the dance tonight. And they were dialed in today. It was really – I feel really good about where we are right now.
You have a lot of freshmen and sophomores that have been up on varsity throughout the years, and you mentioned, you know, some of your freshmen are getting some playing time late in the games as well. What is your mentality as a coach in regards to, you know, maybe you got a decent freshman that might help you in 2 years, right? And but you keep her on varsity, or a sophomore, you're like, yeah, she's, you know, she can get some playing time and on the JV team, perhaps be the leading scorer. So what's the thought process behind putting some younger players on the varsity team, even though they might not get a lot of minutes?
You know, for me, it's been, and I think we've had a pretty good history of success with it, of that freshman needs to be up. And the reason being, people talk about playing time. And I always say, okay, let's look at a six-day week, because we obviously don't do anything on Sundays. If we have two games in a week, even if you don't get any playing time in those games, or very little in those two varsity games, you've gone against all-state, usually college-bound kids every day in practice for 4 days, and you're getting high school, varsity, high caliber coaching 4 days plus the game 6 days a week. Now you go to JV and they want to talk about playing time. Usually our JVs are winning most of their games by 25 plus. They'll have a couple competitive ones a year. You're only playing about half the game at best, 2 days a week, 4 days a week. You're not getting the same level of coaching. It's just the reality of it. And you're going against a second team that's usually, you know, quite a drop off on the JV level versus. So when they talk about playing time, you're getting twice half a game of quality playing time versus 4 days a week of knockdown drag out competition, plus the coaching, plus you might get some minutes in the game. So I've noticed kids that if two kids are kind of close and we keep one up and one down, that gap is huge the next year. So those kids that are up, and it can be growing pains. You know, they're all used to playing and being the star at their middle school level or from their elementary school, and it's some growing pains at times, but the payoff is tenfold, and the growth that they'll experience with us on the varsity level is huge.
And you know, I've always believed and thought, and I've seen it with my own eyes, that when the competition gets tougher, right, you can be the leading scorer in sixth grade and be on all these AAU teams and travel teams and go to all these, you know, coaching clinic or player clinics and trainers and stuff. However, the competition gets much tougher as it gets along, right? And then all of a sudden you're at the varsity level, like, man, everybody's better than me for the most part, right?
Yeah.
How difficult is it to navigate somebody through that, where they were stars when they were younger, everyone's told them how good they are, and then they're playing elite competition, so it might be a little tough for them?
You know, it our tradition helps us because we have kids we can point to that have been in your shoes. You know, like right now we can refer to Araya and Athena as freshmen. They went through these growing pains, and now look at what they're doing now. So there's a role model and something tangible for our kids in our program to see what it looks like. We kind of use a phrase in our program, your brain usually doesn't free up to receive and process coaching until you realize you're not as good as you thought you were. You know, because everybody tells these kids, oh, you're the next Division I player. You're going to the league. You're doing this when they're 12 and 13 years old. You know, and as you said, as you go from 10 to 12 to 16 to 18, the talent levels off quite a bit. And everybody, an 18-year-old varsity player who's just average, is a different body and strength and speed than that same kid when they were 13 years old that you might have dominated. Mm-hmm. It levels off a bit. And so, you know, and we try to be very honest with them what it's going to look like. I think when you set up kids up with false expectations, false hype, we're very honest, very accountable. We want kids to understand what it's going to look like and what you need to do to get there. I always remember Sarah Bates' quote after her senior year with winning state. People were like, oh, you know, when you came to Clovis West, did Campbell tell you how amazing? And she goes, Campbell's actually the first one that told me I wasn't amazing, and these are the three or four things I need to do to be amazing. He was the first one that told me I wasn't wonderful yet, and then helped me get there. You know, and I think that's a big thing is, you know, sometimes we tell kids where they should get to, but there's no they don't know how to get them there, you know, and then kids fall short because they're like, well, I thought I was here, but I'm not here, but you're not helping me get there. And so, you know, it's process driven and it's about growth. And if you don't want to be coached, you're going to struggle in our program because you're going to get coaching every day. And great players, I've never met a great player that doesn't want coaching.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been to a lot of your practices. So yeah. I've seen that, and I've seen, you know, the grind that they have to get through and the amount of instruction that they get. And if you want to be a better player, you better listen to me because this is the way it needs to be done. I want to ask you too, Coach, about when you felt your program really earned the respect up and down the state and maybe even nationally. Was there a specific moment or maybe a quote from somebody or a ranking that you saw or maybe a compliment that another coach said to you? But when do you feel like the state really noticed or the nation really noticed Clovis West girls basketball?
You know, it probably I think we first got on the map statewide when in 2010 when Bree Orlich, Janae Coffey, Shanice Parrish, that whole group, that was prior to the open division, and we lost in the state semifinals. And, you know, we beat some tremendous teams at Clovis West to get to that game, lost to Long Beach Poly, actually at the Galen Center at USC, and we're one game short. And probably if we win that game, we're probably state champions because we were better than but Long Beach Poly was the tough one to get through at that time. So state level then, probably 2015 when Danae, Bree, Megan, Sarah, that whole group was sophomores. We were going out nationally and competing, and people liked the way we play. And so that's kind of where the buzz started. And then in 2017, when we went out and beat all those teams, we played 9 McDonald's All-Americans that year that we beat. That's when people were like, holy crap. I mean, now we go places and people already know who we are before we get there. Like we walk in, they're like, oh, Clovis West. I'm like, wow, really? And, yeah. You know, we're in the Northeast or the Southeast or Texas or – so that's kind of cool where people are, hey, this is that Cali team we were talking about. You got to come see them play. They're fun to watch play. So I do. You know, it's even with our student body. You know, a lot of times they'll say that they don't come support the girls' games because the girls' games are usually blowouts. And, you know, that's not the case. The track's competitive now. But my thing is if you come watch us play, you're going to have a different opinion of girls' basketball. You're going to have fun watching us play. Whether we're successful or not, if you'll come and park your butt in the student section, I think you'll be back because we play a fun style.
Absolutely. And how do you approach being the hunted? You're always the hunted, right? Everybody wants to be Clovis West. How do you approach those types of games where, you know, man, this team's got nothing to lose. They're going to come after you with everything they got.
You know, it's funny because in Reno, we were the hunted. Then I came here and had to change the thinking here. And I remember one of my kids, my first year, you know, I started talking about, we're going to win league this year. And they hadn't done that. And they knew Central was really good that year. And Madera was really good. They were in our league at the time. And as I was talking about it, she's like, well, Coach, isn't that, like, if there's a target on us, don't you feel like that's pressure? And I had to change the mindset. I said, guys, when the target's on your back, that's when you're doing things the right way. You know, and so we try to, a lot of people don't understand, you know, winning Valley is a tremendous experience. Winning a couple times is crazy, but winning 11 times in a row, the pressure our kids go through every year, that there's a lot weighing on them more than any other program. You know, it's easier to get there. You ask any level, it's easier to get there and do it one time than to keep repeating it. And so for the run we've had, our kids are, you know, they lose a game, our alumni are calling. What the hell are they doing? You know, you need to tell this girl to step up. You need to, you know, our alumni are pissed off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they feel that pressure. You know, but there's also expectation and tradition. And, you know, you've been around us enough to know, and in our practice and stuff, we don't talk about winning. We don't talk about championships. It's about a standard and an expectation. And if we meet the standard and expectation and are playing our principles and, you know, putting the team first, a lot of times those other things, those will be the results of it. But it's really trying to get those kids up to that tradition expectation level.
Well, I've seen that firsthand many times, but one of the stories that I like to tell about you and your program is you played a playoff game against Hanford, and after the game you guys whooped them. You started off 25-0 in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And I think that was my first question to you, is like, man, everything was cooking in that first quarter. You guys won 25-0. You're like, really? I didn't even know. You're like, you had no clue, because you expect certain things on every possession, correct?
Yeah. Well, and there's sometimes I've been guilty of leaving the press on longer than than I wanted to. Like, we're up 35 and still pressing or something. And I go, oh, crap, because I'm not watching the scoreboard. I'm watching us and our execution. And then sometimes my assistant will be like, hey, get us in such and such. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Because that's not what I'm coaching to. I'm not worried about that. I'm, you know, and going back to a story in Reno where a reporter comes up and we won a championship by 35 or something, a preseason tournament. He goes, you're the most intense up 30 coach I've ever seen. And my response to him was, doesn't my third string deserve the same attention and intensity as my first team? I don't coach to the scoreboard. I don't coach to the it's buzzer to buzzer. I'm trying to give my kids the best of me that I can.
That's awesome. All right, we got to talk about, oh, you know what, before we get into some football stuff, what do you got? The tournament, we got one more tournament before league starts, right?
Yes, going up to Portland.
Going up to Portland.
Yep. Playing a big Nike event up there. Pretty cool deal. They're going to let us they have a Coach K court up there.
That's okay. So that's,
so that, that's
okay.
The tournament where they're going to really – and great competition. There's some elite teams up there, but just a great field and great experience.
All right, Cowboys talk. You mentioned you got some Air Jordans that match the Cowboys colors.
Yes, sir.
How peaking at the right time? How you feeling? You feeling strong?
I'm glad we got rid of the 1970s playbook after the 49ers thrashing of 3 yards in a cloud of dust. When we opened up the playbook and let Dak be Dak and started going vertical a little bit more, it's a totally different offense. And then when we play the lead, that allows our defense to do what they do well and get home and create turnovers and create havoc. So if we see the Niners again, we will not beat them in a 13-17 game. We're going to have to outscore them. And we're going to have to put up 24-plus points. And if we get a lead on them, that changes what they like to do and plays to our strengths. So I like the direction we're headed. You know, I still feel like we're one piece away somewhere. We need one more playmaker on either
running
side
back,
of the ball.
Maybe Pollard doesn't have that.
They're starting to get Pollard out in space more, which is he's being more productive. But, I mean – trying to make a Derrick Henry trade or something would have been really nice. Signing D-Hop would have been a nice, you know. But I like where we're headed and how much of our core is back next year. You know, we get a couple guys back from injury. Marquise Bill is a guy I am so happy with right now. Unsigned rookie free agent and starting linebacker for right now, and he's a playmaker.
And Deron Bland,
obviously. Deron Bland Pick Six.
Mr. Pick Six. Got to improve a little bit playing elite receivers, though. Huh?
Can't gamble on all of them.
Can't gamble on all of them. All right, Coach, awesome conversation as always. Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas to you as well.
Yeah, got Christmas coming up. But thanks for coming in as always. Appreciate you. I'll definitely be headed to a couple games this year.
Yeah, come by practice, come by games. We always love having you.
You bet. All right.
Kids love seeing you.
Yep, good stuff. All right, Coach Craig Campbell, Clovis West girls, 12-2, ranked in the top 10 in the state. And, great program, fun to watch. Make sure you guys catch a game or two this season. George Takata is coming up next. Always love talking to Jorge. We're going to be talking about a little bit of everything, Fresno State, NFL, high school stuff, here on 1430 ESPN. Here we go. Bottom of hour number two on Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Had a really good conversation with Clovis West girls basketball coach Craig Campbell. I mean, he's just so well-spoken. He's focused. I've talked to a lot of people around being in the media. And there's some people that think that Coach Craig Campbell, if he wanted to, he could make a direct jump to the Division I level as a head coach. He could. He's one of the few people, but He's got a young daughter that's going to be playing basketball for him in 5 or 6 years or so, maybe sooner than later. So, I mean, just, elite schedule. That 2017 run that they had to that state title was one of my favorite moments as a journalist, media guy. It was just great, 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 great program, really good basketball players. If you missed any part of the show, you can go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. Got everything listed right there. You got Gabe's show as well, Tony Diodato's show, the Jose Gonzalez show in the morning. Got a little bit of everything. All right, time for George. Time, friend of the show. All right.
Marketing. Tough act to follow. Thank you.
God, you're welcome. But you were kind enough to do the old switcheroo, right? Yep. I actually had you guys switch because Campbell is coming straight from basketball practice. So, yeah, you're kind enough to come at this time. But
I will say this.
about Coach Campbell, he's not only put Clovis West girls basketball in a national level, he's put like all of girls basketball in the Central Valley on the map in some aspect, whether it's nationally or statewide or whatever. Because of the success of his program, the other programs reap the benefits of that. Kind of, well, where's the other talent at around the Central Valley? So credit to him for not just growing it at his school and my alma mater, but all over the valley. Done a great job.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we've seen in the big girls basketball games in the last 6, 7, 8 years, they bring just as many as the great boys basketball games in the Central Valley.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. All right. So, George, I mean, you got a whole list of accomplishments here, right? You're currently director of marketing communications at Reedley College, sports director from 97, fresh out of college, right, to 2013 on CBS 47, co-host of the morning show. I don't know how you did it, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and all that, you know, wake up and try to find if we had a foggy day schedule. There's, you know, George Takata, you know, talking on KC24. Still doing a little sports on KMJ, right?
Yep. I still do the morning reports there Monday through Friday. I love it. Love doing it. I've done that for like, oh gosh, 4.5, 5 years now. So it's great to be part of that team. We've won a few awards. And so I just play a small role in that, but I love doing it.
That's awesome. You recently went to New York.
I did.
Some pictures. Talk to me about that, man. And you got a little sports angle with that as well, but
yeah. So my cousin John is a diehard Jets fan. He's a season ticket holder, and so we went to the Jets Eagles game. And at the time, Philadelphia was undefeated, and the Jets, you know, they had Zach Wilson. He wasn't doing so hot, of course. And then they upset them, thanks to an interception late in the game to set up the game-winning touchdown. So Ricky Manning Jr., local legend here, Edison High, you know all that. UCLA, great career in the NFL. Well, he's the Jets' defensive backs coach. He coaches the corners. And so before I went out to New York, I said, hey, Rick, I'm going to be there. Is there any way I can see you? And so he got me a pass after the game to see him. So I was like, well, I hope they can upset the Eagles. He'll be in a good mood and whatnot. And they did. He was in a great mood. Win or lose, I was going to see him. So I got a field pass after the game. Families meet their husbands, you know, the coaches and players on the field. And then they go into this VIP area. They do a post-game radio show, and they have this huge spread at the stadium there, and got to take some pictures with him and catch up with him. And so it was great to see him. I really appreciate that. Middle of the season, he's probably got a lot of distractions. So I was very appreciative of him getting me those passes and say hi really fast. So it was nice.
What's that stadium like? Does it feel?
It's better than people think it is.
Yeah. On TV, it just looks, you know, dark and
it's no Allegiant Stadium. It's no SoFi. But it's nice. I mean, they share it with the Giants. And so you can see when you go up the escalator, like they have all the Jets legends on banners all over the place. And you could see the Giants legends flip. So they just flip everything. So it's like, oh, look, there's Joe Namath. They flip it. Oh, there's Phil Simms. You know, it's just you can tell, like, they do a little quick change. And, you know, they have to switch the banners out and everything. But, I mean, it's not the worst place I've ever been to watch a sporting event. So.
What is the worst place you've ever been?
Oh, Candlestick sucks. That place sucked. You know, the wind and all that. I know it has historical, you know, games and the catch and all that stuff, but that place was not fun to go watch a game.
No, the wind. You're right. And it's
I'm never going to talk down about the Oakland Coliseum anyway, and so I could probably list that as one of the worst places I've seen a game, but I won't. But Candlestick was, that was not fun.
Well, and you're a huge Raiders fan, right? Raiders Nation. I put out a poll, George. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you voted on the Twitter, on the X. I said, and I've always been curious about this. What NFL team do you root for, right? Raiders. Right. There are four choices. Niners, Raiders, Cowboys, and other, right? You can only do four. I was a little surprised. Niners were 30%. Raiders were 19%. Cowboys were 13%, and others were 38. Does that sound about right? I figured Niners would be number one.
So others is probably like Rams around here, right?
Or Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins. Right. Steelers probably. Steelers have a lot of fan base everywhere. I'm not too surprised about that. I mean, 49ers are going to rule the roost around here, I think, and you know, they're a great organization, and it does not pain me to say that, being a Raider fan. I don't care. Like, they are who they are. They're outstanding. Top to bottom, and the Raiders are not. So, but, yeah, the fan base around here should be 49ers. It's been 49ers, Raiders, pretty good. And then the Rams with St. Louis, and they're starting to get their fan base back here now that they moved back to Los Angeles. So, and there's always been good Cowboys fans here. So not really too surprised by that.
Niners. It's going to take a really – when they're healthy, it's going to take a really good game from the other team to beat those guys.
Oh, they're the best team in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, by far right now. I mean, Philly's dropped off a little bit with their back-to-back losses to Dallas and San Francisco. Miami lost to Tennessee. The Ravens are sneaky good, though. A Ravens-Niners Super Bowl again. Don't be surprised. But I would love to see, you know, Josh Allen and the Bills get back to – they're winning ways a little bit, but I think a Dolphins, Niners, Dolphins, Cowboys Super Bowl will be fun to watch too.
Yeah, and Josh, right? A little bit of a, I don't know, tumultuous season.
Up and down.
Really up and down, right? Yep. And a play here, a play there, and they're, what, they're 7-6 right now?
Yep. Right? Could beat the Chiefs, could be 8-5. Thanks to Kadarius Toney and his toe being offsides. But I think, you know, Josh, I think the Bills, they've been there, done that. I think they know what to do down the stretch, and I think they'll be fine. I mean, they're going to get in, I think. Josh is too good. I think he'll lead the way and at least get in the playoffs, and then whatever happens, happens.
And so your Raiders. I mean, how can you go from the debacle of last week's game to Thursday's game? I mean, what are they doing to you, George?
Well, they set a team record for least points in a game, 0. They've done that multiple times. And then 4 days later, they set a team record for most points in the game with 63. I mean, I was shocked. I had a feeling they would beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
With Easton Stick, a quarterback, and just a lot of things going wrong for them, and no Keenan Allen. And I didn't, you know, no one thought they would score 63 points on them, you know. And they just kept 42-0 at the half. I was stunned. And the Chargers, what, turned it over their first three possessions. They're just a mess, and you know, that got Brandon Staley fired, and I'm sure a lot of Chargers fans are thrilled about that anyway. So I think the Raiders did Chargers fans a favor just by getting Staley out of there. It's been a mess there.
They look like a JV team. If you compare it,
they look like they didn't care.
They didn't care.
You know, and I love Khalil Mack, so I feel bad for him a little bit, not entirely. But just throw up for the Raiders, I think Antonio Pierce is doing a good job. Champ Kelly, I saw an article that Mark Davis would love to keep those guys, and they've got 3 games left. So you're kind of at a catch-22 as a Raider fan. You want to see them keep winning and maybe get to 9-8 and see what happens, but they'll have to beat the Chiefs, the Colts, and the Broncos to do that. But then again, is Aiden O'Connell the answer quarterback? I still think they need a franchise quarterback, so the more they win, the further down they go in the draft order in the first round. So it's going to be another one of those 8-9, 9-8 things where they're just not going to tank it. They're going to play hard for Antonio Pierce because they want him to be the coach. So.
Yeah, they look like a totally different team with him at the helm. And, you know, with the loss of Derek Carr moving on to the Saints, that was – I don't know. What were your feelings on that and how his tenure at – for the Raiders, how it ended?
How it ended?
Just awful, right?
I don't like how it ended at all.
No, terrible.
I just – and for him not to be there the last 2 games of the year, you know, the Raiders on social media, they usually thank players after they leave, you know, thanks for the memory, you know, type things like a video reel or whatever. They didn't thank Derek at all for his 9 seasons of dealing with a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Inconsistency is very nice, but
distractions.
Distractions and just incompetence with multiple head coaches and the Ruggs situation, the Gruden situation, the Arnett situation, multiple coordinators, and, you know, a couple of interim head coaches, and just dealing with a bunch of crap, you know, and then the 1 year they went 12-4, he breaks his leg and probably would have won a couple playoff games, and who knows. But Derek, you can never question Derek Carr's heart. Like, he always wanted to win for the Raiders. He always wanted to play for the Raiders. I don't think he wanted to leave. But now he's in New Orleans, and he's taking a pounding this year. Like, I've never seen him take that much of a pounding in one season than he is right now. So, but, you know, they're in a division where they can get in the playoffs with a losing record. So I hope he can get in and make some noise.
Yeah, so where are you with Derek? We obviously love him, and you put it perfectly. You know, he's the nicest guy probably in the NFL, very generous. And, you know, you've interviewed him many times, but – you know, how many more years? What do you think the future looks like for Derek?
Was it 31?
He's 32.
I mean, 5 max. 3 to 5.
Think so?
I know he has a lot of aspirations with preaching in his future. He's going to do that. He does that now.
Yeah.
And he was. I think he was ready to do that after a couple seasons ago with the Raiders. But he said that the fire's still fire inside. He wants to win a Super Bowl. but I think he's got 3 to 5 years left, five max. I don't see him going past 37 years old. I really don't. And I don't think New Orleans is his last stop either. So I hope he wins a couple playoff games and feels, you know, gets a feel of what that's like.
Yeah.
Because he's deserved that. He's such a hard worker. And win a championship would be great too, but I don't see that happening this year with the Saints anyway. So, but I don't think, like I said, I don't think New Orleans is his last stop. I think he's got a couple of years of football left, and I don't think New Orleans is his last city, but he's not going to go more than five more years. That's my opinion.
And you've talked to Derek, you know, a few times in your career. Who have been some other athletes that, you know, Aaron Judge, right? But who have been some other athletes here in the community that you've interviewed that you just really, really enjoyed?
Okay, I'm not going to go with the – because I've answered this before, and I'm not going to go with the obvious ones. So I've thought about this a little bit. So, like, they're the obvious ones, the Paul Georges. I really, you know, love those guys and all that. But Gary Selzy is one of my all-time favorite interviews, period. Funny car racer on the NHRA circuit, top fuel champion, four-time world champion. Just, if you haven't seen Gary Selzy's interviews, I'm pretty sure you could see him on YouTube. He's a Fresno guy. And just so gracious and friendly and funny and witty. And so he's at the top of the list. Gary Selzy, outstanding. I love the guy. Merry Christmas, Gary, and wherever you are. Rex Hudler, tremendous.
Yeah, full energy.
Can't go wrong with Rex. Same, just happy, enthusiastic, positive all the time, great answers. You know, takes time to listen to the question and give you a thorough answer. So Rex, Gary, those guys are great. Amanda Scott was tremendous, sarcastic in a funny way. We had some good chemistry interview-wise, professional-wise, and I could always get a good answer out of her. So she was amazing as well. And I enjoyed Clifton Smith. Clifton Smith was a great interview. You know, with his Batman and flying through the air in high school. I interviewed him in high school, and he was just tremendous, and he always came to the studio when he was in town and brought his Pro Bowl jersey to one of our On Your Sideline shows one time, and just love him to death. And, you know, he's still out in Tampa, and he does stuff with the Bucks still. And so those four people really stand out aside from the usual answers that I give you. You know, and shout out to Pat Hill, who's always amazing.
He is amazing.
And Adrian Wiggins, who was always good to me.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about high school basketball. You've been associated with Clovis East.
Yeah.
Boys basketball, right?
Yeah.
See you on the sidelines, and it's always fun catching up with you. You know, from your opinion, I know Adrian was on Gabe's show earlier this week, had a nice conversation there. How's Clovis East boys looking? Yeah, you think you guys are going to Las Vegas for the Jerry Tarkanian tournament coming up, but how's the East boys looking?
We're 6-2. Just came back from Arroyo Grande where we went 3-1.
Yeah,
finished in third in that tournament because it was a championship game between the two top teams and the first place teams from the brackets. And then we go off to Vegas tomorrow, play Monday through Thursday, and I think that it's going to be challenging for Clovis East to win a championship, a Valley championship, because there's no open division anymore. So
you can't get away from Clovis West, St. Joe's.
Clovis West is just amazing with their 6'9" center and you know, whenever Marshall Sanders can play again, but they're senior heavy and just so talented, and they're just going to be they're a tough out. St. Joseph is amazing. I've heard that all the private schools should have their own division and let all the public schools go at it, because just St. Joseph, you know, they could do things that other schools can't do in regards to getting students at their place. And so, and then Memorial is going to be really good. Clovis North always is good. So it's going to be an uphill battle, I think, for Clovis East, because I could say we, I guess. We're young still.
Yeah.
But we have two great senior players in Jeremy Piero and McKay Olson, who will just, you know, leave it all out on the floor. And then we've got great sophomores like, Liddell Farmer, and he's coming into his own. And so we have a good mix of younger guys, older guys. Can they put it together and have a really good season? I think so. But once we get to playoff time, the matchups are going to be tough if, we get to play the Golden Eagles again and St. Joseph. But, you know, anything's possible. So that's why you play the games.
You got a freshman too, right? You got a couple freshmen on the team?
Couple freshmen. pretty good. Well, last year we had some good freshmen in Liddell and Aiden Beechler, and now they're sophomores, and so that class is now kind of, you know, a year older and stuff. So we don't really have freshmen playing this year, but we had a lot of them last year. We lost a player to a different school who was a freshman last year and did a lot of great things for us last year, but he's moved on. So and we had, you know, Trinell Emerson, who was a freshman last year, who started, and he's back. So we like to run. We like to shoot threes. We like to, you know, make it interesting and keep it fun and up-tempo. And I think Coach Wiggins and his staff do a great job with those guys. And, you know, win or lose, whatever the outcome is at the end of the season, they're going to get a great experience. We're going to travel. We're going to have fun. They're going to learn more about basketball, but they're going to learn a lot about being young men and growing up and doing bigger things than basketball. Because Coach Wiggins it's not just a basketball coach. Sometimes you have to be a life coach with these kids.
And
so,
you do.
And I've seen that firsthand. Does a great job with them, and so does Coach Rees and Coach Morgan and Coach Sebra and Coach Gregory. So it's great staff. I'm just happy to be part of it. I'm not the hydration technician anymore.
Okay.
I shoot video of the games.
He's
and stuff,
a video guy.
So I'm away from the huddles a lot, but it's still fun. I'm just happy that they still include me. So
that's great.
Off we go tomorrow.
That's great. Talking with George Takata. All right. So out of, let's just say the big three, football, basketball,
baseball.
And baseball.
Yep.
Right. What's your favorite? What do you enjoy the most? You could either talk about playing. I know we played a couple softball things together. Playing or watching or professionally broadcast, whatever.
To watch now, baseball is at the bottom.
Really?
Just because I'm an A's fan. It's just so depressing.
Okay.
And it also depends on the success of my teams right now. So basketball is number one as a Sacramento Kings fan. Yeah. The big high hopes.
Yeah.
And then football is two. And it was a lot of fun to see the Raiders do what they did on Thursday. But realistically, I mean, they're going to have to win out, and multiple teams have to lose two games out of the last four. So, you know. But, and then there's the A's are just at the bottom for me. Like, John Fisher has taken the love of baseball away from me. Just the way he's handled, the way the team is moving to Vegas. And it's not a done deal yet, I get it, but it's pretty much that way. He just doesn't spend money. He doesn't keep any of his players. I joke that he could have afforded Shohei Ohtani at $2 million a year for 10 years, and then 10 years you're going to be in Vegas, you probably could have paid him off. Might as well should have signed him. But, of course, that wasn't going to happen. So he just – I don't think he wants to win. He's not he'll go with the guys from the farm system, people he drafts, and if they – and once their time runs out and they're going to make about $10, $12 million, it's time to let him go. So I think his A's fans were all sick of that, and it's just taking the joy out of the game for me a little bit. Thank God there's Aaron Judge that I can root for, and so I might switch allegiances to the Yankees for a little while.
I mean, the Moneyball time, right?
That was fun.
Such a great time with the A's. Tejada and the big three,
Chavez,
pitching, Eric Chavez at third,
Holder,
Zito. Right?
Yeah.
And you could just drive up to an A's game, get yourself a $10 ticket, hardly any traffic, get back on the freeway, go back, you know, 3-hour drive.
Yep.
No mas.
No, no more. It is one of the worst stadiums in America, but I love that place. I grew up there. You watch games when I was 10 years old there, and it used to be beautiful before Mount Davis came. You could see the Oakland Hills and the old town, the old time scoreboard in center field, and it was a beautiful venue to watch baseball in the 80s. But that's kind of gone away, and then, you know, John Fisher.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a rough final year in Oakland. Don't know if the fans are going to protest as much, but it's not going to be attended very well. They're not going to attract any players. Yeah. They're going to suck. They're going to lose 100+.
Yeah.
So, and then off they go to Vegas, or who knows where they're going to play? You know, are they going to go play at the AAA stadium? Are they going to go play at Biden Field? Like, where are they going to be? I don't know. So it's not going to be pretty for the next few years. They're going to stink for a long time.
Ricky Henderson still, you know, I posted that Ricky Henderson rookie card.
Oh.
Right? You got to have some of those.
I have about 15 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. and I've got, you know, all my favorite players, I got multiple rookie cards of those guys. Ricky, Mitch Richmond, Marcus Allen, those are my guys. So, I met Mitch Richmond at a sports autograph show, sports card show in Santa Clara, and I was like a kid again. and took a picture with him and got his jersey framed and all that. So those three are my, those are my big three. That's how you know you're old, when your favorite players are in the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, that rookie card, 1980 Tops. Mm-hmm. That's an iconic card. He's got his down in his crouch. He's got those batting gloves and those wristbands. I mean, what a dude.
Great stance. Best play. He's one of the GOATs of the game.
Yeah, I went to Ricky Henderson Day. This is probably like 7 years ago. Uh-huh. Only got a couple minutes here. Ricky Henderson Day, and we were in line for some food. And all of a sudden, I heard this lady behind me talking about Ricky. Ricky, mm-hmm. do this. Ricky, do that. You know, Ricky. You know, this is a great day for Ricky. I look back there. There's a shirt literally said, "I'm Ricky's mom."
I love it.
It was Ricky Henderson's mom was behind us talking about Ricky. Ricky this. I'm here for Ricky.
Oh, I love that. I wish Ricky could be one of our guests at our show. So we have a sports card show. I want to pump that up. January the 6th, Clovis Rodeo Grounds, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., sponsored by Southpaw Sports Cards. Got a couple of guests that are going to come by, 40 vendors. Come on out.
I'm coming.
And support it.
I'm coming. Thanks, George. Always,
thank you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo. Thanks to Craig Campbell. Thanks to Tony Amundsen, Connor Amundsen for coming on the show today. This has been a great year. This is my last show until January, taking the next 2 weeks off. You guys are absolutely amazing. High school sports in the Central Section, there's nothing like it. I guarantee it. Teams up and down the state might be better than us, but, man, we got more heart than anybody. I guarantee it.
That's
so
right.
You guys have a Merry Christmas out there and a Happy New Year, and I'll see you in January.
Your home of the San Francisco 49ers, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.